Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. Shad and I are chatting with Steve Penny. He is the publisher of the Silver Chartist Report. And look, I subscribe to Steve's work and I very much enjoy the videos that he sends out. And I also enjoy these charts that he shares with us. A handful of charts again that will be posted below this interview. And I know Steve's report, it says Silver Chartist Report, but Steve covers silver, gold, and also uranium, a couple other sectors too, but the uranium is the key here because that's where we're going to spend a fair bit of focus, simply because uranium, whether it comes to the price or even the underlying stocks, probably one of the most, if not the most, exciting commodities out there right now, especially because, again, the stocks are actually leading the way higher. Now, look below, follow along to the charts that we're going to be talking about here as we start off with the simple uranium futures. This is a monthly chart. We're using monthly candlesticks here, and we're seeing a massive gap and breakout higher from really an uptrend that was in place or has been in place ever since 2017. Look, we can look to the left-hand side of the chart and see just how much pressure uranium has been under, but this breakout is pretty significant, isn't it, Steve? Take us through the key to this breakout, this gap higher, and where you think uranium could go from here.
Yeah, for sure. So I've been talking about this gently sloping uptrend channel for several months now. And I've been saying once we get above the upper rail of that uptrend channel, I think $45 uranium becomes the initial target. Now, I did not expect it to happen this fast. I mean, this has happened really fast. We're up, gosh, almost 25% this month, and we're talking here on the 13th. So the month is less than half over, and the mining stocks have moved accordingly. A lot of the mining stocks have doubled in just the last few weeks. So, you know, it's been a really exciting move. I think the trend is clearly up from here, and I continue to think we're in the relatively early innings. However, you know, nothing goes straight up, and, you know, we are susceptible to a pullback across the sector from these levels for sure.
Do you think it's gotten too overheated, though, Steve, with this big breakout and, quite frankly, with how big this gap is for the underlying uranium price? Do you think that a bit of weakness or a bit of a slowdown is needed, or is it just too early on in this breakout? Could run higher.
Well, from a purely technical perspective, this is where I would expect a pullback. And some of the charts of individual mining stocks on the daily chart indicate that we're due for a pullback. We're seeing some slight topping patterns here with exhaustion gaps and long upper wicks today. But, you know, the uranium sector is so small. It's one of the few sectors I can think of that's smaller than silver. It's only about 65 pure play mining companies in the world. So when big money comes in, you know, all the ingredients are in place for just a speculative mania. So, you know, it's hard to say, to call intermediate term tops here, but from a purely technical perspective, we're due for a pullback. But now there's talk about the Wall Street Bets crowd coming into this sector. I think last week, Cameco was the most talked about stock for those Wall Street Bets folks. So, you know, there's the potential for it to run here. It just, personally, I wouldn't want to chase at these levels. I would be looking for a pullback.
Yeah, Steve, that was going to be one of the questions I asked you, because there's no doubt that uranium, the price level itself, has broken up higher. And a lot of that on the back of not just the recent Sprott buying, although that's the big prime mover, but even before that, the market and the spot market was being mopped up by six of the non-producing companies. And even before that, companies like Cameco and Ur Energy were also buying in the spot market. So the next mover is probably going to be when the contracting phase starts. But the miners themselves have anticipated this and run higher, but they've run so high that I think it might be nice to bring up the chart for URNM, which is the mining ETF for the uranium miners. And you have on there a channel, an uptrending channel, but it's at that upper end. So do you think this is an area where if people have large positions, they may want to lighten up some? Or do you think it could blow above that channel and even break out in a more crazy way with the momentum traders?
Yeah, I think the likelihood is that we pull back a little bit here. It's hard to overstate the bullish implications for the Sprott Physical Uranium Trust. I mean, that's just going to be a constant bid for physical uranium. And that's already a very tight supply-demand situation right there. If I recall correctly, it's roughly a 30 million pound supply shortfall each year. Well, just in the past few weeks, Sprott has bought over 6 million pounds of uranium. So it's having a huge effect. So the question is, how much of that is already priced in? And when I look at these charts, I think most of it probably is over the short term. And the next big catalyst I'm looking for on the fundamental side would be the long-term contracting cycle to begin with these utilities. And then you mentioned being at the upper rail of that pretty well-defined uptrend channel. you know, that's resistance. Whenever you approach key resistance and RSI is already stretched, there's a decent likelihood. I mean, chances are you're going to pull back or consolidate just a little bit. So, you know, it's important to keep emotions in check here and not let FOMO get the best of us. You know, let's make wise decisions that are best for us. And as far as trimming, I can't give personal advice, obviously, but I think the questions to ask yourself are, you know, how much exposure do I have to the sector? You know, if like you're all in on uranium stocks, it might be smart to take some off the table. However, if you've got a very small percentage of your overall portfolio, you might let it ride. Those are the kind of things I'd be thinking about as far as risk management and portfolio management.
Yeah, it's always difficult. It's individually everybody's own choice as to how they want to manage their portfolios. And it really depends on when people got positioned in the story and their position sizing. So maybe just before we dive into the other charts, we had talked off mic a little bit about how unpopular it can be to buy when there's weakness. And also how unpopular it can be to talk about even scaling back just a little bit when it gets to these oversold readings. So how do you manage it personally? And how do you deal with the sentiment swings from other investors when you're advising people that subscribe to your newsletter?
Yeah, it's so true. One thing that's unique about our newsletter is it's a fully transparent over-the-shoulder service. So I show the members exactly what I'm doing. And, you know, that forces you to make some unpopular decisions. You know, often when I'm buying, I get a lot of criticism. And often when I sell, I get criticism because by nature, I'm a contrarian. So I'm perfectly comfortable being wrong in the short term and being right over the longer term. So, yeah, a lot of the times when I scaled in to these positions, you know, it looks like a foolish decision at the time.
So, Steve, you made one comment there that, look, even the Wall Street silver crowd is starting to look at uranium. Yes, that can lead to a bit of a pop, a short-term pop, but they can also dictate the top of a market too, much like they did with silver. So is that not a little bit worrisome if we do see one more pop? What could happen? That could be the top.
Yeah, I don't want that to happen. Just to be clear, I mean, I think it's likely they're talking about it, but I really don't want those folks participating. I'd rather just see a nice, healthy bull market, which is easier to trade because parabolic blow-off tops benefit the fewest number of retail participants. And it's the hardest, you know, to scale in and scale out of. So I really don't want that to happen. But if it does happen, we should have a plan, an exit strategy, if this goes vertical or continues to go vertical, I should say.
One more quick question regarding that ETF chart, the URNM. Look, there are two kind of diverging patterns here. One that you outlined in this green line that was this general arc here where the price went up and then it did start to fade a little bit. And if you'd followed that arc, then it could have just corrected right back into the sub $30 level. But now that we got that break, and it's been a break for a number of days now, does that invalidate that overall arc pattern that you were seeing?
It does, yeah. I just left that there because if we do pull back, that would be support. I'm not sure we'll pull back quite that far. You know, it's one of those patterns that it's not super relevant anymore since we've moved so much above it. However, today's candle, so, you know, we're speaking here on Monday, the 13th, and we've got a big gap up, and that looks like a textbook exhaustion gap to me. An exhaustion gap comes at the end of a nice run-up. The RSI is typically overbought, and then it happens on massive volume. And on top of that, you see this long upper wick. I mean, the market hasn't closed yet, so we'll see what it looks like at the end of the day. But this looks like an exhaustion gap on the daily chart for URNM here.
Well, Steve, I was going to ask you about that because usually when something breaks support and it has a big gap up and then another gap up, it's going to go back and fill those gaps. Mm-hmm. But one could also argue that when it broke above that arc resistance, even the move up to 71 was a pretty epic move that had its own mm-hmm. little gaps in it on the daily, but now it's really surged higher, almost in a parabolic sense above it. So what level of support would you be looking to hold? And do you think it'll go all the way back down and test that 71 level? Or is there enough money on the sidelines that it'll just go down to one of the support levels below that before it reaches there?
Yeah, that's such a good question. There's a lot of money on the sideline that is just waiting for a pullback in the uranium sector. I strongly suspect that anyway. And the first obvious level of support would be that $71 area, which was previous resistance. Now it's support. So I think there's a lot of traders. If we pull back that far, I mean, that would be quite a pullback from here. But if we did, I mean, that's where I would fully expect a lot of money to come in. And I think that would be a really strong support, that $71 area for sure.
Now moving on to the next chart, the uranium miners ETF. Look, this is a weekly chart, and this just shows how strong this uptrend has been really since the beginning of the year. Actually, more around March when the uranium stocks bottomed, but look at that trend and look at how strong it is. What are you expecting here? Just a continuation of this trend then?
I do, yeah. And like I said, I think we're at the upper rail of that. So the trend is clearly higher. I fully expect higher highs and higher lows going forward, but I prefer to buy the pullbacks as opposed to the breakouts. So I would wait for a pullback here. And I think the next sharp pullback could be a really good opportunity for people who feel like maybe they missed out.
Now, is it any certain sector of these stocks? I know that it's a small world of stocks, but are you playing in some of the exploration plays? Do you like the larger miners, the more advanced plays? Do you have a preference in terms of the uranium stocks you're betting on?
Yeah, I like a balanced portfolio. I mean, what's unique about the uranium sector is the two largest cap names are Kazatomprom and Cameco. Well, both of those have 10-bagger potential, maybe not quite from these levels. So even the bigger names are still have plenty of upside potential. So I prefer a diversified approach, with the producers and the ones that are nearing production, and then just a small amount to the explorers and developers. I like to put bigger money into the bigger names and small money into the smaller names is my strategy.
Okay, Steve, now pivoting over to the gold market, it looks like on the chart that you sent over that there's a clear uptrend in place on that trend line and that we want to see that hold. And obviously, if there's a break below it, it puts in play 1675 or possibly lower levels. So what are you looking for and what do you want to see as we move forward on the gold chart?
Yeah, there's about a two-year uptrend line that's very well defined, and we're sitting right above that on the chart for gold. So I think it's as simple as this. If that line fails, the path of least resistance is a pullback towards 1675, which is that recent low. There's a triple bottom there. Very strong support at 1675. So if that line fails, I'm looking for a pullback to 1675. Conversely, if we can make a higher high above 1837, that could give us some indication that perhaps the lows are in and we've got a trend reversal, because that would be a higher high and then higher lows, which is the definition of an uptrend, right? So 1837 on the upside, 1675 on the downside are the two numbers I'm looking at.
And then 1837, in all fairness, though, then there's a lot of resistance even above there, right? There's levels of resistance that you have outlined in this chart, whereas if it falls below this uptrend line, then, yeah, it does look like gold would very likely go back to 1675.
Yes, exactly.
What do you think about the underlying stocks when it comes to gold? Because those, at least in certain days, and today's a good example, where gold is, for the most part, flat, but the stocks are actually doing okay. You look at GDX and GDXJ, GDX is up over 2%, GDXJ is up over 4% right now, and that's as gold is up literally $2 on the futures market. So the stocks are doing a little bit better today. It hasn't been the case for a prolonged period of time. What are your thoughts on the stocks, and do we simply need the stocks to start doing better before we have any hope of gold, even testing some of these near-term upper resistance?
Yeah, that's a sign of some, it's a somewhat encouraging sign, because typically the miners lead. It doesn't always work that way. So the miners certainly led on the way down, and from my perspective, the miners present a more compelling value proposition if you've got a longer-term time horizon. The miners are much more beaten down than the metals themselves. So if I were scaling in here, I'd be looking at the mining stocks as opposed to exposure to the physical metal. That's me personally.
Just one more quick one here, Steve. I know we're not going to get into any charts on silver, but is the basic play there just watch out for a break below 22 or a break above 29?
Those are the big numbers right there. Yep, 22 and 29. There are some shorter term patterns here that we could use to maybe project some shorter term moves. But really, the excitement for silver is going to start when we get back above, I'll just call it 30, round number 30. I think once that happens, we could see a fast move to the upside. And I think what we're seeing in the uranium sector right now is a good precursor for what we're likely going to see in the silver miners at some point. It may not be immediately, but I think sometime in the foreseeable future, we're going to see that.
Okay. Well, Steve, hey, it's always great chatting with you. Thanks again for sharing these charts with us. And yeah, the uranium sector, it has been the big standout and people are making money there. It's nice to see some money being made, especially in the underlying stocks. Even if it's a smaller world of stocks, probably a better thing, actually, when you compare it to just how many precious metal stocks there are out there and just how much those, unfortunately, continue to fade. But again, this week, at least on Monday, got off to a decent start with those stocks, at least some of them moving higher. Again, it's not that broad-based recovery by all, though. Steve, great chatting with you, buddy. We will chat again in another couple weeks. I hope you have a great rest of your week.
You too. Thanks, guys.